Today we begin a new sermon series entitled, Game Plan, Do You Have One? As the 2017 football season gets underway, there will be many opportunities to watch football games. Isn't that right? And every football game and every football team will approach every game they play with a game plan. Teams don't just show up, put on their equipment, and play football. Every team goes into a game with a carefully thought-out strategy or course of action for winning a specific game. It's called a game plan. Now, in the life of a born-again believer, we also must have a game plan. Victory in our lives does not just happen. Can I get an amen? It doesn't just happen. We have to have a game plan. Thank God that we have someone who provides the victory, and he's called the captain of our salvation in Hebrews 2:10. And his name is Jesus. Jesus is the captain of our team. And he gives us the game plan in the Word of God. When I got born again in 1976, one of the first verses, I was a scripture memorizing fool. Because the Bible says we're fools for Christ. Amen? Fools for Christ. I was a scripture memorizing fool. And one of the first verses that I ever memorized was Joshua 1:8. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Hallelujah. That, my friends, is a game plan verse. If we follow the game plan of the Word of God, we are going to have victory and we are going to have success. If we stray from it, then we fulfill what Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, the way of a transgressor is hard. Because we cannot stray from the game plan. So today I've simply entitled this particular message that we are called to get in the game. Because not everybody is in the game. But we are called to get in the game. And we are talking about the spiritual game of life. So I want to start with a game plan verse. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. This is an incredible and a very intriguing verse of Scripture. Jesus speaking, John 15:16, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Now, my friends, that is a game plan verse. In other words, we have been drafted. We have been drafted. Thank God. Now, listen, we may try to explain all of the theological implications behind this verse of Scripture, you know, that would bring us into doctrines such as predestination and election, you know, and that the Bible says that even before we were formed in our mother's womb, God knew us. Now, I cannot even wrap my mind around that thought, can you? But yet, that's what the Bible declares. The Bible also declares that even from the very foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was the Lamb that was slain. Now, again, I can't even wrap my mind around that kind of teaching, that kind of truth, that kind of statement. But yet that's what the Word of God says. See, we can only understand with a finite mind, but God is infinite. But one thing we read in this verse of Scripture is that He has chosen us. You did not choose me. I chose you and I appointed you. Now I want you to compare that verse of Scripture to Romans 8:28. Now we all know Romans 8:28, right? And we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. Man, that is an incredible verse of Scripture. All things. How many of you realize in reading that verse that God has a game plan? Because it says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are the called according to His purpose. So today we're going to be talking about the calling to get in the game. We are called to get in the game. And our victory and our success is not automatic. We have to apply ourselves to the Word of God. We have to do what God says to do in the playbook. And if we do that, my friends, we are going to have victory and success. Can I get an amen? All right, so today, I want to give you some keys to help you get in the game. First of all, understand this, that believers have been connected to purpose. They're connected to purpose, but not just any purpose. You know, when I put my boat in the water, and man, this rain has been something. You know, I've been promising my grandson that I would take him fishing before school started. Well, you know, we're almost out of time because school's about to start. So Friday, I hooked the boat up, and I knew the weather had been raining a little earlier, but then it looked like it was okay, and I hooked the boat up and drove all the way to Hopedale, and once we hit the top of the bridge, it started raining. And I kept saying, it's not going to rain in Hopedale. I said, it's going to be dry in Hopedale. So all the way to Chalmette and to Violet, we're driving in the rain. I said, it's okay, Elias. The rain's going to stop. Don't you know when I crossed the drawbridge and I was within about 1,000 feet of the marina, it was dry as could be. But wait, I pulled on the side of the road and I said, Elias, we threw our lines in the water, because I'm looking back down the street and we could see the rain coming. I mean, it was like it was just walking down the road. And I mean, it stormed. And we sat there in the truck at that marina for 30 minutes. And Elias said, Poppy, I think we need to go. I said, I agree. Let's go to Dairy Queen. Hallelujah. Next best thing. Amen. But when I go to fish, I am there for a purpose. And that purpose is to catch something. And that's the awesome thing about fishing. You never know what you'll catch. I mean, we've caught all kind of things. One of the weirdest fish I ever caught was an oyster fish. I didn't even know they had oyster fish. And then one day I pulled one in and I looked at that thing and I said, this looks like an oyster. So then I asked somebody, what is this? Well, that's an oyster fish. I said, you see how smart I am? But there's a purpose in fishing. You know, everything we do in life, there's an objective, there's a purpose. But when we get to the things of God, my friends, it transcends all of that because we are talking about God Almighty. We are talking about His purpose, His design, His objective, His plan, what He wants to do. So we have been connected to a purpose. We are called according to God's purpose. I want you to look at two words, the word purpose and the word called, that we find in Romans 8:28. The word purpose is this Greek word prothesis. It means a setting forth, a setting up, an exposition, a deliberate plan, a proposition, or an advance plan, an intention, a design. That's what purpose is according to the biblical definition. And that is, I mean, we could read that definition and see that is so much higher than any kind of human purpose, is it not? I mean, it talks about a deliberate plan, an advanced plan, an intention, a design, because God is the architect. He is the one who designs life. And my friends, when we connect to it accordingly as God has designed it, man, we are going to reap the benefit of that eternal purpose. And it's an awesome thing to behold because it's God. It is His eternal purpose. But I love that. A deliberate plan, an advance plan. We have to have it. See, this is one of the key things to getting in the game. We are connected to purpose. The next word is the word called. It is the Greek word kletos. It means called, invited, welcomed, appointed, called to an office or a position. My friends, you have been called by God. See, we get so caught up in just the routine of life. But we must understand, to get in the game, we are called to get in the game. And this game, my friends, is the plan of God. It is the purpose of God. He calls, He invites, He appoints. Check this verse out. Go with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Man, listen closely to this statement. This is an incredible word. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Guys, I don't think I put that on the outline sheet for y'all, but it's Ephesians 1:11. Ephesians 1:11. Look at what this says. Now, this is a game plan verse right here. It says, in Him, who is the Him? Jesus Christ. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. What? Do you hear that? I mean, this is a verse, man, that we should read it and pray over it and ask God, man, help me to understand this. In Him, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of God. And it says that God is working all things according to the counsel of His own will. And you know what's so awesome about that? We have been, what is the word called? We have been invited. We have been welcomed. We have been appointed. God is calling us because He is a God of purpose and He is a God of strategy. And the Word of God says that He is working all things after the counsel of His own will. Another verse I like is Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11 says that You will show me the path of life, and in Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Man, that's the Word of God. Amen. That's the Word of God. That is a game plan. God says, I will show you the path of life. Oh, isn't it tragic of how many people today are living such senseless and purposeless lives? And that's why they do drugs and they drink alcohol and they try to find the answers and all of the things that are out there. But none of that can fulfill that hole that is on the inside. But God says, I will show you the path of life. Because He is a God of purpose and He is a God of strategy. Some keys to get in the game. So believers have been connected to purpose. Thank God for that. Here's the next thing. We are called to serve God's purpose. I love this. Acts 13:36 in the NIV. It says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. That was a quote from the Psalms, and what we would call a messianic psalm, because it had a dual meaning. It was a reference to David, but it also was a reference to Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that David served God's purpose. He didn't serve his purpose. He didn't serve his plan. He didn't serve his own agenda. He served God's purpose. Hallelujah. He did it. He served it. He completed his God-given assignment. Now, did he mess up? Oh boy, did he ever. How many of you know it's not a good idea to look at naked women on the roof? Come on. Somebody. Even the most strongest of men, that would get to their corrupt sin nature. Amen? So he messed up. Man, did he mess up? He had all kind of problems in his life. He had problems in his family. He had problems with his sons. I mean, he had his share of difficulty. David dealt with depression, despondency. All of the things, my friends, that you and I deal with in this journey of life. But thank God, the Bible says that he served God's purpose in his own generation. How many of you know we can only serve God during the generation that we live in? We have to seize the moment. We have to seize the opportunity. Now, I know Thursday night, the New Orleans Saints begin their preseason football. Football's back. So Thursday night, the New Orleans Saints will begin their journey that will end in the Super Bowl and being crowned the next champion of the 2017 season. Now, some of you are saying, what's he been drinking? Somebody's got to win it. Somebody's got to win it, right? Game plan. We can only serve God every season, my friend, of life. Every NFL season is an opportunity. Every season of life is an opportunity. And we are all in different seasons. Every one of us are in different seasons. So we must serve God in the season that we have been given. We must serve God during the generation that we live in. See, in the context of the local church, we are provided opportunities to serve our generation. That's why I love the local church. And the local church is not perfect. It's got, it's got its problems because it is filled with imperfect people. We are all imperfect. We all have imperfections. Amen? All of us. So the church is not perfect. But thank God that we have a local church that provide opportunities to serve our generation. Even here today, people are serving in the nurseries and the kids' church. And this past week in Vacation Bible School, we had people that were serving because of the opportunities that are presented. thank God that we can serve our generation. The Bible says David served God's purpose. He had a revelation of divine purpose. I need a revelation of divine purpose. If I'm going to be effective for God, I have to have a revelation of divine purpose, because we are called to serve God's purpose. All right, here's the next thing. Here's another key that we can consider and employ in our lives. We all have a special purpose. A special purpose. There is not another you. You are one of a kind. There is nobody that will ever duplicate you. There is nobody that will ever, they might have your same name. You know, I'm from the Smith family. There's a lot of us out there. There's a lot of Stephen Smiths out there. One, he's on TV. A lot of names, but there's not another like you. And no one can ever fulfill what only you can fulfill. Nobody. Because you are unique. I am unique. All of us are unique. And we have a special purpose. I love Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. All right, so everything that is under heaven has a special purpose. Have you ever wondered what is the purpose of gnats? You know those little suckers bite? I remember, you know, I got a lot of fishing stories. Saw a guy had a t-shirt. He said, every fisherman is a liar. A lot of truth to that. Truth to a lie. Every fisherman is, because they exaggerate was the point. One day we were fishing. And I can't remember. I had a Marine with me at the time. And I can't remember who, I think it might have been Brother Darrell. And we were fishing this cut down in Port Sulphur. And I'm telling you, we were yanking in some specks that were 16 to 18 inches long. Beautiful, beautiful fish. But the gnats were killing us. And I mean, it got so, this is how bad it was. I said, guys, we got to go. I said, we're going to have to go find another fishing spot. And they were all in agreement. I mean, it was making life miserable. Now, I can't understand the purpose of a gnat, other than God used them against Pharaoh in the Old Testament. But he's been done with. So shouldn't we get rid of the gnats? You know, but in the ecological system, there is, I guarantee you, there is a purpose for a gnat. You know, a mosquito is another one. I cannot understand the purpose of a mosquito. But in the ecological system, I know there is a purpose. Because the Bible says everything under the heaven has a purpose. So my friends, you and I are under the heavens, are we not? So we have a special purpose. We have a season and we have a purpose. God has a special purpose for you and I to fulfill. Every one of us. And when a person does not connect to their God-given purpose, they wander around aimlessly. Aimlessly. And people think money, jobs, relationships, they think those are the necessary things to bring fulfillment. But I would ask a question. Then why are so many people who have all of those things so unfulfilled? Because there is a purpose. You know what else the book of Ecclesiastes says? It says that God has set eternity in the heart of every person. He has set eternity. What does that mean? He has set eternity. He has set a general sense of God, of a creator, of a higher power, a higher source. Now, a lot of people today think it's the power of the universe, or, you know, all that New Age garbly-gook, you know, or they think that it's in trees and it's in nature, and you know. But the Bible tells us that when people turn away from the Creator, they begin to worship the creation. Hello, somebody, amen. Because we are created with eternity on the inside of us, because we have a special purpose. Hallelujah. A special purpose, and we must fulfill that purpose. And when we connect to it and we begin to serve the purpose of God, not what we want, not our agenda. Thank God Jesus demonstrated that. When he came to this earth, he did not come to fulfill his own agenda. He came with a mission from the Father, and he fulfilled that mission. And he had to undergo all of the trial and the torment and the suffering and the torture, because his mission was clear. He was to fulfill the design of the architect. His game plan was all figured out, and nothing was going to detour him from fulfilling and carrying out that plan. My friends, just like Jesus, you and I have a special purpose, because we're connected to him. Look at this passage of scripture. I love what Paul said. Paul clearly gives us the understanding of a purpose, called to serve the eternal purpose of Almighty God. Look at what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8. Listen to this very closely. This is powerful, powerful stuff. Because we have purpose, a special purpose, specifically outlined right here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Listen to this. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to our agenda, not according to our motivation. We have been called with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own what? Purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Here's another one of those mind-boggling statements again. Before time began. What? Before time began. Oh, this book we call the Bible is so awesomely incredible. And the things that it communicates to us, you know, that even in eternity, God had a purpose of intimacy and fellowship, and that he wanted to enjoy it, of a family that would be in his own image and his own likeness. I mean, this is incredible things. Paul got a revelation of it. He goes on in verse 10, and he says, but it has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life in immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed. What does the word called mean? Invited. Appointed. Hallelujah. Thank God. Do you see the game plan? God has an awesome, incredible game plan. And my friends, he invites every one of us to get on his team and fulfill his plan and his purpose. You know, in being in ministry, in the years that we've been in ministry now, you know, we've had a lot of experiences along the way. I've had people come in, never met them before in my life. Pastor, I'm a prophet, and I bring prophecies to the church. And I said, well, my brother, until I know who you are and learn about your character, your commitment, we are a non-profit organization. Come on, somebody. But people think, you know, well, they have this appointment, and they may very well have it. But they think that they should be given a window, you know, a platform, and God only knows what they're going to say. I mean, it's the truth. You know, that's why you grow in a body of believers. And you grab hold of the vision and the plan and the purpose that is operating within that structure, within that body of believers. Amen? Listen. Thank God. And I'm not trying to negate any of those gifts. I'm all for those gifts. You know, but a lot of times, you know, people want to designate themselves as certain things. But when we are fulfilling those things, we don't need to designate it as such. Because it will become very evident and very clear. Amen? Because God's purpose is flowing and operating. Paul was alluding to that right here. He says, I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher. I mean, even Paul, when he tried to join himself to the church, many of the believers said, oh, no. We've heard about that guy. He's responsible for killing believers. And you know, he's evil. He's wicked. But the Spirit of God had already spoken to one of the apostles. And he said, the Lord told me he's coming. Paul, that is. He's coming. And the Lord revealed to me that he's a changed man. Hallelujah. He met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Thank God. He had a special purpose. Now, my friends, we may be tempted to relegate special purposes to those who are in pulpit ministries or those who have teaching ministries. And my friends, thank God, you know, for what we call the fivefold ministry. But we must get beyond that kind of thinking, because every born-again child of God is called by God to be a minister of reconciliation. And we all serve in this context of the local church to fulfill the plan and purpose of God. And the moment we get our own agenda, then we miss it. We miss the game plan. Hallelujah. I want to be in the game. I have been called to be in the game. We have a special purpose to fulfill, my friends. Let me give you the last and final thing. Man, I'm at 33 minutes. And y'all thought I couldn't do it. Hallelujah. Well, I could, you know, sometimes I take 20 minutes on the last closing point. Like the little boy in church turned to his mama and he said, Mama, what does it mean when the preacher says an in conclusion? She turned to her little boy and she said, absolutely nothing. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah. Well, it does mean something. All right, here's the last thing. We need vision to stay in the game. We need vision to stay in the game. Look at what this says. Man, I love this. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Man, is that an incredible verse or what? I want you to notice that word looking. See, this verse of Scripture gives us, I mean, it just gives us so much insight into what we're talking about. Jesus had tremendous clarity of why he was on this earth. Did he not? Tremendous clarity. Even when he stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power to condemn you to death or the power to release you? And Jesus had not said a word up to that point. But when he mentioned that, authority, he said, oh. He says, now you're talking about something that I do know, something that I do understand. And that's when he said, you have no power at all or no authority at all against me unless it was given to you from above. Hallelujah. He had clarity in his mission. He said, to this purpose did I come into the world. For this end was I born. Why? For the joy that was set before. Because Jesus saw the finished product. But my friends, it's going to take vision to stay in the game. It's going to take vision. That word looking is the Greek word aphoreo. Apo meaning away from. Horeo meaning to see. It means undivided attention. Looking away from all distractions in order to focus on one object. Does anybody know the Ten Commandments? Well, two people know them. Praise the Lord. Maybe we'll get more. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, one of the top commandments that we read in Scripture, Exodus 20, verse 3. Not only is it at the top, it is the number one, first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Looking away from. Apo, away from. Horeo, to see. Undivided attention. Looking away. He says, looking unto Jesus. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Sometimes our attention is looking at other things, other distractions. And this is how we can lose, my friends, being in the game, staying in the game. Because we can be in the game today, and we can be out of the game tomorrow. Hello, somebody. I mean, because things happen. Decisions, choices. Look at what this says. I love this in the Message Bible. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. He says, but be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get divided, get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Shopping? Oh, no, not that. I love to shop for myself. Does anybody enjoy shopping for anyone else? You do? I don't. I want to shop for me. My. Be on guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dull. Parties, drinking, shopping. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise. Spring on you suddenly like a trap, for it's going to come on everyone, everywhere at once. So whatever you do, don't go to sleep at the switch. Think of that. Now this is an admonition that Jesus gave to his followers in reference to the day of reckoning, the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. So we have to have a vision to stay in the game, because we can so easily begin to put other things before him. You shall have no other gods. We look at that and we say, well, that's carved images. Well, yeah, that's what they did in the Old Testament. But we make so many things gods. You see, because whatever you worship is what you will serve. And if you worship God, you will serve God. You will worship whatever you serve. Jesus gave us that principle in the temptation in the wilderness when he rebuked the devil And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." He put that connection together. Whatever you worship is what you serve. Hallelujah. I want to worship God. I want to be a greater worshiper. I want to be a more effective worshiper. At one time, I was involved in parties and drinking and all of that stuff. But thank God, the day I got connected to purpose, I left all of that behind. And I got connected to a special call. I got in the game, and I've been in the game ever since. And my friends, every single day of our life, we are faced with a challenge of not only being in the game, but having a game plan to succeed and to be victorious and to accomplish what God has for us. I've been praying, God, what is the next plan for West Point Church? What is the next stage of your game plan? Of the people that we are designed to touch. Those that we are designed to reach. You know, things that God wants to do in this house. And my friends, every one of us, we are under the heaven. And we have a season and we have a purpose. And we cannot allow ourselves to drift aimlessly. We have to get connected to it. Connected to it. I want to be in the game. And I want to follow God's game plan. It was a song that used to come on the radio. Maybe still comes on the radio. But the song said, "You are God and I am not." Just a simple lyric. You are God, and I am not. It seems so insignificant, but boy, is it ever loaded with truth. Because so many times, we want to call the shots. We want to do what we want to do. You know, I know our attendance is down today because of rain. But I tell you, when I go to those Saints games, and I usually go to a couple each year, those people get there. I remember a Monday night game. Becky and I had been given tickets, and we were, you know, that's usually the only time that we'll go is if it's a Sunday night game or a Monday night game. You know, now they have Thursday night games. I've been to one of those as well. Just because of, you know, being ministers and being in ministry, those just work better for us. So we were at a Monday night game, early September. And a tropical system was threatening the area. I nudged Becky and I said, "Look at all of these people." I said, "They got raincoats on." They had women in there with galoshes, raincoats, and rubber boots. Not even a tropical storm was going to keep them from the Saints. And then I get calls, "Oh, Pastor, it's been raining so much. Pastor, we're scared." "Do you have a car?" "Well, yes, Pastor." "Do you have insurance?" "Yes." "What's your problem?" "If it floods, call the insurance company. You might need a new car anyway." Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Listen, we've got to be connected. We've got to understand we are involved in the most awesome, incredible plan, incredible game. You know, I love football. I love going to the games. I love watching it. But you know, I understand that beyond all of that, thank God, I'm called to an eternal purpose. And you, my friend, are called to an eternal purpose.